It's Ladies Night. Thank you for tuning in to Breaking Chains Young Adult Talk on YAT Radio, featuring the Proverbs 31 ladies. Join our host, Elder Kimberly Buford, Associate Pastor of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, where Apostle Kyron B. Buford is the pastor, and some of the most anointed women of God, in discussion on what God wants us to be and how to become that Proverbs 31 woman. Let's break some chains with the Proverbs 31 ladies.
Praise the Lord, and thank you for joining us tonight at Breaking Chains with Proverbs 31 Ladies Night. This is your host, Pastor Kimberly Buford, Associate Pastor at New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, where Apostle Kyron D. Buford is the pastor. And we want to just thank you for joining us tonight and being with us. And before we go any further, let us go before the throne. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for everything. We thank you for your protection, your keeping care, your love, your grace, your kindness, your mercy. Lord God, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't praise you enough. If we had eternity, God, to praise you, we couldn't praise you enough. Lord, we just want to thank you for keeping us and watching over us, Father God, especially those of us on the Eastern Seaboard, Father God, that just endured all of this weather-related issues, Father God. We just thank you for your protection. We thank you for your covering and your keeping, Lord God.
Thank you,
we thank you for rest, Father God. Sometimes we forget to thank you for that. We thank you for rest.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do. Lord God, we repent of every sin, every attitude, every shortcoming, every failing, anything and everything in us that does not reflect your glory, that does not reflect your beauty, that does not reflect your love. We repent. And we ask you, Father God, use us tonight. Use us. Take our mouths. Work your will today, Lord God. Work through us, Father. Use us. We are but vessels to do your bidding. Father, touch hearts through the rebroadcast of this, Father God, through those that are on the line, through those that will be on the line. Lord God, through those that will listen to this program for years to come, Father God. Let chains be broken. Let deliverance come. Let the shackles loose. Make the shackles loose the prisoners, Father God. Let them go free. This, Lord God, let this be their year of jubilee. And, Lord God, we will be careful to give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I know
Amen.
I've played this song before, and I know that I've put this out there before you before as a worship song, but I just really feel like we need to hear this again. I want my destiny, and I pray you want yours too. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, go get ready. Come on. Go get your shoes. Come on. Go put your vest on. Come on. Come on. As a matter of fact, go get all your stuff.
Come on!
That's right.
What you saying? Just saying. What up? You better go get your hat and come on.
You better.
I want it all.
As I look around,
the
time
to sit upon the shelf. He did not die just for his health. With the time we have, let's waste not all on selfish reasons. But we must seek to please him first, find his will upon the earth. And they look back from death to birth, they'll say they've seen him. So we must serve him, who brought us and saved us, keep us all together in the presence of his glory. We turn for a life, his good and perfect purpose was designed to bring us to the place where he needs us to be. Do you want your destiny? Come on, come on, come on.
His good and perfect purpose was designed to bring me to the point where he wanted me to be. That's one of those lines in that song that I truly love, because that's exactly what happens in our lives. His good and perfect purpose was designed to bring us to the place where he wants us to be. It might not be where you think you ought to be. It might not be where I think I ought to be, but it's exactly where he knew we would be. Isn't that awesome? It's exactly where he knew that we would be at this point, this day. The best word I ever got, someone told me one day, I was beating myself up. I think I had just turned 40. And I was beating myself up about where I thought I should have been at 40. Well, 45, I can't remember what it was, but it was one of those points in your life where you start looking around and you start looking at your friends that you think are doing so much better than you, people that you think are doing so much better than you, and you start looking around and saying, you know what, my life is just terrible. I haven't accomplished anything. I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't done anything, and look at these people around me. They're so great, and they're so awesome, and this, that, and the other. And the word, you know, the word that somebody gave me was, you're exactly where God wanted you to be. Who are you patterning yourself after? There's only one you. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. You might want to be somewhere different, but that might not be God's plan for you. Obviously, it's not if you're not there.
Amen.
And I had to sit down and think about that thing for a second and say, you know what? That makes sense. But you know, when we start getting to that, you know how women are. You know, we get that thing where we're just like, oh my gosh, I should have been 10 years ago, I should have been here, and you know, last week I should have been there. And you're exactly where God wants you to be, exactly when he wants you to be there. So just chill. It's all good. Anyway, is this Pastor Rosie online?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Pastor Rosie.
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get started on what we're supposed to be doing tonight. By the way, is there anybody else on the line that wants to say anything? Hi. Thank you for joining us tonight. Amen, amen. Well, if you want to join in, jump on in at any time. Amen. Tonight's topic is going to be a carryover from the ones that we've, the past several weeks, and basically we've been dealing with the same topics all of January, and the topic has been exercising your spirit, man. And God really put this in my spirit based on the fact, you know what people do at the beginning of the new year. Everybody has all of these different, what's the word they use?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry?
I'm trying to think of the word myself.
Yeah, they make all these New Year's resolutions about, you know, I'm going to lose 50 pounds by next week, and, you know, I'm going to stop eating sugar for my life, and they make all these crazy resolutions, and they might make it out of January. But what God wants us to do this year is not a resolution. It's He wants us to look at ourselves, and beyond exercising your physical body, which is fine, but exercise our spirit man. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." And so God wants us to really step up and beyond trying to exercise, not saying that physical exercise is not a good thing, but just saying spiritual exercise is a whole lot more profitable. Amen? Because
Amen.
The physical body is going to die, point blank. We're going to die one day. At some point during this long walk home, as Solomon calls it, at some point during the long walk home, the eyes will grow dim, the hearing will change, your physical body is not going to be able to do all the things that it could when you were 15 and 20, but your spirit man will live forever. At some point, the physical man is going to cease to exist, but the spiritual man, the spirit man, will continue to exist in eternity. And we have to make sure that our spirit man is prepared for that eternal life. Amen? And what we've been looking at is in Matthew chapter 5. That's where we've been. We've been looking at the Beatitudes. And Pastor Rosie, what have you gotten out of this study that we've been doing?
Wow. This is exactly what you have been, what you just said, really. It's spiritual maturity. It's growing up.
Amen. Amen.
Growing up.
Amen.
We're in the kingdom of God, and first of all, we need to know how to live in this kingdom. This is different than what we were used to outside of Christ. You know, when we were in the world, it's a totally different kingdom, totally different world. So this is just showing me how to live in the kingdom of God, how to be happy, how to receive joy.
Amen.
Being this person in the Beatitudes here, if we really meditate on it and do these things, because we can do them. We can
Amen.
Be ourselves being happy, joyful, not depressed. And on top of that, being blessed.
That's it.
You know?
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I want to piggyback off of what you just said. You talked about being happy and being joyful. And I don't know if our listeners know this, but being happy and being joyful are really two different things.
Yes,
They're two very different things because, see, happiness comes and goes. Sometimes you might be happy. Sometimes you might be sad. Sometimes you might feel up. Sometimes you might feel down. But joy is what lasts.
Mm-hmm.
When you got joy, joy will stay with you when everything else leaves.
That's right.
So, you know, that's what I seek. Happiness, you know, when I was younger, I used to try to be happy. I used to want to be happy. And then when I got Christ, I got the revelation that happiness wasn't what I needed to be looking for. I needed to be looking for joy.
Right.
And so that's what I seek. I seek that joy, that joy that the world didn't give and the world can't take it away.
Right.
That's what I seek. Amen. So anybody else on here want to talk about if they've been listening before, anything that you've learned that from the lessons that we've given so far?
I do. This is Rochelle.
doing?
Hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. One of the nuggets that I took that I really like is in the eighth chapter or in the eighth verse, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And we talked about that being a promise. And I just thought, I love that. I love that God tells us that we can be assured that we will see him if we follow his word. That makes me very excited.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome? Mm-hmm. Isn't it awesome that our daddy gives us a promise like that?
Right.
You know what blesses me about what you just said? It kind of took me back for a second. All my life, my daddy, my earthly father, because of the kind of child I was one of those, if you said something, I'm going to hold you to it. And I'm going to hound the taste out your mouth until you do what you said you were going to do. My daddy was one of those, he never made me a promise. He wouldn't promise anything unless he knew he could keep the promise, because he knew I was going to be looking for him to keep his word. And my daddy was a good Southern man. His word was his bond.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not give his word if he didn't know he could keep it.
Oh, that's so good. Can I say something?
Jump in.
Let me say something about that before you go too far. I just love what you just said. Your father did not make a promise because he knew if he did, you would keep him to it, right?
Amen.
Now,
say that again.
You would bug him about it, right?
That's right.
So we are to be. If we want to see progress in our lives, if we want to see prosperity, if we want to see prosperity in our health, in our minds, in our financially, whatever, if we, our father, unlike your father did not make promises, but our Heavenly Father did make promises. He wants us to hold him accountable.
That's good.
Word, remind me. He said it in his word, remind me. And you just said, because we are to run after his promises, you know?
Amen.
Why is it that we don't?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he made them.
Wow. But you know what? That goes back to something we said last night in Bible study. One thing we were talking about was how the Father, the earthly Father, gives us our first glimpse of our Heavenly Father. And a lot of the reason that people have a difficult time relating to their Heavenly Father is because of the relationship that they have with their earthly Father. The relationship they have or do not have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So because of that relationship or that lack thereof, a lot of people have a hard time relating to a Heavenly Father. And I think that goes back to what you just said, the thing that you were just talking about. You know, why don't we challenge God? Why don't we meet him where he is? He said, try me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Try me. Why don't we try God at his word?
That's right. Pull out all of those promises. Meditate on the promises first and know that you know what those promises really mean. And don't look at human perspective, because you'll get the promises twisted. You look at them from a
good
perspective.
That's good.
You understand, wow, I tell you can't hardly stand still for joy. My gosh, I am this person. Oh, my goodness, I can have this. oh my goodness, this is how God sees me. I mean, you'll get so happy.
Amen.
And I just challenge anyone to just pull those promises out. Meditate on those promises. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what it means.
Amen. No, but you know what? That is just such a beautiful promise. And I'm sorry, I can't help but to think about, you know, when, like with my daddy treated me like the princess. I was the apple of my daddy's eye. I still am, you know, the apple of my daddy's eye. You know, when my daddy sees me, he can't help but to start smiling.
Yes.
You know, because I'm his daughter. He loves me. Man, how much more so does my heavenly daddy do that?
Oh, wow, yes.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking about what you're saying, and I'm thinking, you know, how much more does my heavenly daddy smile when I go and pray and talk to him?
And guess what? The Heavenly Father knows you better than your real father does.
Exactly. How much more does my Heavenly Father smile and get joy than when I comfort those who need comforting? When I bless, when I hunger and thirst after righteousness, when I am merciful, when I focus to have a pure heart, when I mourn after the things that are concerning him, when I chase after his heart, how much more does my daddy enjoy and love my presence?
Amen. And when he's enjoying and loving your presence, he wants to give to you.
Amen. I mean, you know, we are, Daddy is captivated by our beauty. He created us as the crowning jewel of his creation. This is one of those mind-boggling things. Yes, he created man in his own image. He surely did. He created man from the dust of the earth, but he didn't create us from the dust of the earth.
No,
he took us from the rib. You know, I've heard people say jokingly that we are the refined version of man. We are that refining. God did some refining. He used the refining process on us, and then he allows us to participate in his creation process by allowing us to bear children in his image.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
We are participants.
We are so, God is captivated by our beauty. He created us to be beautiful, to be radiant. To reflect his beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Not just on the outside, but on the inside too. He created us to look just like him.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? Wow, that is mind blown. Mind blown.
It sure is.
It's just amazing.
Wow.
God loves us so much. So if we take that and we look at the things around us and say, well, wait a minute. Why don't I see this? Why don't I recognize this? Recognize that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Recognize that there are many that are under his power. And unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that you see on television is a reflection of what he says about us. Not God.
That's right.
It's a reflection of what Satan said. It's a reflection of his lie. It's a reflection of him twisting what God did.
Mm-hmm. And
that's
therefore,
right.
We have, and you know what else? And you know what else? He so wants to shut us up. He so wants to warp us and twist us to where he tries to get in on the foundation. He tries to get in when we're children and twist us and confuse us and change us, change the trajectory of our lives by whatever means necessary. Satan don't fight fair. So he does everything he can to twist and pervert and change the trajectory of our lives so that we never quite fulfill all that God has for us. We never quite reach the pinnacle of what God has desired to give us. But God already has a plan in motion, just like he did with Adam and Eve, just like he does with everybody else. God has a plan to get us back on track, to get us back to that point, so that he can shower his daughters with the gifts that he has already planned to give us. He wants so badly to give us those good and perfect gifts. He wants so badly for us to fulfill our purpose and to be everything that he created us to be. He wants so badly to give us those things. And it is truly up to us to walk in what he called us to do and to be. The whole while the enemy is throwing in all those distractions and all of those different things. We were talking about this last night, weren't we, Pastor Rosie? All these distractions and all of this confusion and all of these things to throw us off track and to keep us off focus so that we can never fulfill what God wants us to fulfill. But just like we just said a few minutes ago, even with all of those distractions, even with all those things that the enemy is throwing at us, God still gives us these promises. Promises that he is more than willing to keep.
And
he's,
you know,
just waiting on us to remind him. Go ahead.
You know something, as far as those promises are concerned, even when we go down the wrong road, even when we commit some kind of sin, even when we do horrible things, whether it's accidental or intentionally, it's not as hard as it does. However, the moment we say, "Father, I'm sorry, you're back in his graces again." And you don't have to wonder, "Oh my God, did God forgive me? Did God forgive me?" If you said it from your heart, he forgave you right then and there.
Amen. That is so true, Pastor Rosie. I remember one time I was so distraught because I was in a situation. I had done some things that I knew I wasn't supposed to do, and I knew that God didn't want me to do them, but I felt like I had to for various reasons. I felt like I was pressured to do some things that God, I knew God didn't want me to do. And I did them, and I felt guilty. I felt so guilty, and I kept trying to get it off my mind. And I remember at one point I just broke down in the middle of the night, and I just cried out to God, and I repented, and I fell asleep. And it was like, God is so awesome. It was like I had a dream, and in the dream, it was a prophetic dream, and in the dream, God was talking to me about something that had absolutely nothing to do with whatever the situation was that I had done. It had absolutely nothing to do with it. And it was like God was, it was like I was sitting there worried about the situation I had just repented about, and it was like God was saying, "Why are you focused on that? I put that in the sea of forgetfulness. That's behind my back. I'm past that. You got to get past it. Let's keep going. We got work to do. What are you focused on? Come on, let's go work." God was nowhere
God had completely forgotten about. It was like God had completely forgotten about whatever it was I was still holding.
That's right.
And
that's,
it was
that's
the
good.
Most amazing thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, that's good because I want everybody to understand what you just said. That is so important because you say not from just your mouth or from your head, but when you really mean it, you know when you mean it.
Yes,
I am sorry. Please meet you right in there, and like what you were saying, and you try to bring it up, he'll say, I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. That's exactly what my dream was like. What are you talking about?
Talking about it. It's only us that keep bringing it up again. Not God.
Amen.
It's us.
Amen.
But he says, I don't know what you're talking about. And
exactly.
It doesn't matter what you have done.
Do you
it
know what I think
matter.
Is also... Okay.
Go ahead, baby.
Do you know what I think is my favorite part about all this is that I was a believer in the concept of, yeah, God's able, and he'll do it for you, but is he going to do it for me? I always felt like maybe I was separate, like, well, it worked for her, but I'm not her, so I guess I'm SOL, but when I came to the realization that, yes, he did it for me, the promise is for me, he died for me, he forgives me just right here, that makes me want to shout right now.
I'm telling you, that's where I am right now because it's like mind blown. I keep saying it, it's like mind blown. And it's like you know this stuff. You know, I know this. Yeah, this, that, and the other. But then it's like when it makes that 18-inch trip from your head to your heart. You know, and, you know, it's just like revelation, you know. And it's just like, oh, God, you really will do what you said you would do. You really do love me like you say you do. Oh, God, yes. It's like, you know, if he meant it. He meant what he said. And he loves us like that.
That's right. No matter who in your life have told you that you're not good, no matter who in your life have told you that you are unlovable, no matter who have said all those things to you.
That's
right.
And the enemy spends plenty of time in the generations before you got here. He spent plenty of time planting people in your life. He set it all up before you even got here. The enemy set up all of these spots in your life. He set up that teacher that was going to teach you in kindergarten. He set up your granddaddy or your great uncle who was going to molest you. He set all these pawns up in place to make sure that you never got the revelation that God truly loves you, to make sure that you never get to this Matthew chapter 5 to recognize that, hey, I'm supposed to live this so that I can look like Jesus. I'm supposed to know that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm supposed to know that I can be blessed regardless. I'm supposed to know that everything God said is yay and amen. I'm supposed to know that God told me to try him. The enemy spends, plenty of time and takes his time. He's a master manipulator, putting people in place just to discredit God in your life.
Yes. And it's all subtle, too. Most of the time it's subtle.
Oh, my goodness, it's so subtle. But God.
Yeah.
But
it's so
God.
Awesome. Yes.
But
it's
God. The word says that when the flood, like an enemy, like a flood, when the enemy comes in, that like a flood, God will set up a standard against him. See, I don't use the comma in that statement. I don't like where they put the comma because, you know, man put the punctuations in there. I don't like where they put the comma. I move the comma.
When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, God sets up a standard against him. God is stronger than the devil. There is nothing the enemy got that's stronger than my God.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Pastor Rosa, you got
Thank
me started
Jesus.
Tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You got me started tonight. I like this kind of carrying on. Amen. Wow.
Now, you know, I want to go back for a second because it was something that we were talking about last night about being like Jesus. And we were talking about how Jesus spent so much time in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes into what we're talking about as far as Jesus' teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see that Jesus, prior to teaching Beatitudes,
mm-hmm.
Jesus was teaching in Galilee. He was teaching, he was preaching, he was healing, he was doing all of those things. But every time Jesus did those things, Jesus would steal away and pray.
Amen.
He would get away and pray. He would get away and sit. It was almost like a debriefing.
It was because he was getting it from the Father. Remember, he said he spoke nothing except what he heard the Father say.
Amen.
You know?
What would our lives be like if we said nothing but what God told us to say?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That I would need to attain.
Man, what would our lives be? Forget about the world. Let's not even talk about the world right now. Let's talk about our little corner of the world. What would our lives be like?
Wow.
If we spoke nothing, what would a typical day in our lives be like?
You know,
if we spoke nothing but what God told us to speak.
You're gonna make me shout here. You bring up all these good things here. What would it be like if we said only what God said about us? Just really think about that. From the moment
Amen.
We were taught. What are some of the things that God would be saying? I mean, really, what are some
Amen.
Of the things that we need to get in our lives?
Wow.
I am.
You know what? I want to challenge us to that. I want to challenge
yeah.
us to that.
Yeah.
I want to
yeah.
challenge you. Tomorrow morning when you get up, don't
yeah.
say anything that God don't tell you to say.
That's right. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Ooh. Amen.
Speak only what God tells you to speak.
This morning, and I dressed myself this morning.
Amen. You know, go to God for everything and see what the outcome. What would the outcome be if I only spoke the words that God spoke to me? If the interaction that I have with other people, that I only speak what God gives me to say, that I only do what God tells me to do, I only go where God tells me to go, I only wear what God tells me to wear.
That's how we're supposed to live. If we want a prosperous life.
Amen. Do y'all think that's too hard?
No, I'm excited by it.
I'm excited too.
I might have to call y'all tomorrow and let you know how it goes because I'm sure it's going to be interesting.
But you know what? That's what God wants. You know, one thing about God, God is an interesting God. God is never dull and boring. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing dull and boring about serving our God.
He has a sense of humor also.
Oh, my God. Does he ever have a sense of humor? But think about what would you say? What would you do? How would you do it if we only do what God tells us to do?
If we only go where God tells us to go, if we only say what he puts in our mouth. Wow. Do you know how that will affect our children?
I know.
Wow.
Be careful, because he may tell you to go to that one that irritates you, that one that you can't stand. He may tell you to go there and bring them a gift. He may tell you to go there and love on them.
He already did that to me, so I ain't scared of that. I've had to do it before, so. And I tell you what, if one of those things when God tells you to go and apologize to somebody when you know you ain't did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
But God tells you to go and apologize anyway because you're the one listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's so funny. I just had a situation like that today. I believe how I became a toddler, like all over again. So I was like, that's not fair. Why do I have to? They were wrong. They did it. I don't want them at my house. I'm not. By the time I finished and I remembered the word, I said, well, let me go on and make sure I got something to gift to this person. And
Lord, isn't it amazing, though? Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
And the thing that's really a trip is even if they don't reciprocate, even if they don't understand, and most of the time they don't, even if they don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, we still have to be obedient.
That's right.
We
and
still have
that we not to look for them.
No. No, because we're not doing it because of them. Yeah. We're doing it because of God.
That's right. You're right.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And when we have to be meek and we have to be merciful and we have to be a peacemaker, when we have to be those things, this is putting the word, this is putting Matthew 5 into action.
Mm-hmm.
That's putting it into action. And when you do those things and you look at these things and you're like you said, Rochelle, when you get to the point, you're like, but God, I didn't do anything. But God, I didn't. That was their fault. And God is like, but you're the one listening. And I need you to be obedient. See, we don't know what God is trying to work in that person's life. We don't know what it is that God is trying to work in them. Go ahead, babe.
No, that's it right there. It's not about us. It's about what God is doing in that person's life. God knows what it takes to get that person's attention.
Mm-hmm.
To get that person to love or whatever. And he's using us. We are his hands. We are his arms. We're his eyes.
That's it. That's it.
Let him use them, you know.
Wow.
But you know what's
good.
Interesting? A lot of the time we'll say, if you want to use anything, Lord, you can use me. We love the song, I Surrender All. We love to sing those songs and tell God how we surrender and how he can use us. And, Lord God, I'll do anything you want me to do. Fill me, God. Use me, Lord. What's that song by Tasha Cobb? For your glory, I will do anything. I'll travel the hottest desert and I'll climb the highest mountain, but I'm not going to cross the street and talk to my neighbor.
Yeah.
Wow.
They sing the song. They don't even know what they're talking about. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You're right.
And that's why.
Go ahead,
Pastor Rosie.
No, you're right. They won't cross the street to talk to their neighbors. I don't know my neighbors. Why do I need to know my neighbors? I mean,
so what? You went out for a second.
Hold a minute. My gosh. And God is trying to get our kitchen to do just what you just said. That's the potential. Soul, that's the person that God is trying to get into the kingdom of God, out of Satan's clutches, you know.
Amen. And God needs us to be pliable. He needs us to be loving. He needs us to open our arms and our hearts to the people that are around us, because as Pastor Rosa just said, we are God's hands, and we are his feet, and we are his eyes, and we are his mouth. We are the vessel that he uses to get his work done.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time we're so selfish. Let's just call it what it is. You know, well, you know, it don't take all that. You don't have to, you know, I go to church on Sunday. It don't take all the rest of that stuff. It takes that and more to do the work that God is calling us to do. And the day is quickly coming to where it's going to take everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to start preparing. We now need to be preparing not only ourselves but our children. We need to be prepared for that day when it does cost everything. It's quickly approaching. And we need to recognize that. Remember, Jesus said they're going to treat you just like they treat me. If you really look like me, they're going to treat you like they treated me.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready for that?
Mm-hmm.
Are we really ready to stand up for our faith? Are we really ready to be vocal for our faith? I used to, when I used to have Bible study with my daughters on a regular basis, and I repent because I haven't been doing it as regularly as I used to, we used to talk about that all the time. That was my regular question to them was, are you ready to die for your faith? We have to be ready, prepared to die for our faith. We don't know when that day is going to come. It might be, I believe it's going to be sooner than later. We have to be ready to die for our faith. And God is trying to prepare us. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'll say something about that.
Go ahead.
And dying to your faith, it doesn't we're not just talking about somebody holding a gun to you saying, do you believe in Jesus or not, I'll kill you. We're not just talking about that. Dying to your faith means dying to yourself. Get, you know, so God can use you, letting your ego go.
That's daily, Pastor Rosa. That's daily. That's something we're supposed to do every day anyway. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily to myself, to my flesh. I die daily to my flesh.
Yeah, I just don't want people to think one-dimensional. It's everything.
Pastor Rosa, you're going in and out. What did you say?
I'm sorry. I have the phone right to my mouth. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I said dying to everything, anything.
That's right.
Not being tied to anything. You know, but a house. If the Lord tells me, Rosie, I want you to give that house away, but you still maintain the payments on it, and I want you to move to Georgia or something, and you know what? I would do it in an instant.
Amen.
What were you supposed to do? And I can say that very boldly. I can say that. That's what I mean by not being tied to anything.
God, travel light
for us to get the beautiful things and to have what we want. That's reasonable. He enjoys that. He enjoys it. But when we are so tied to that thing that it prevents us from doing His will, then something is wrong with the picture.
Amen.
We've made an idol out of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And you know what? Bishop and Pastor Margaret, it used to be kind of a running joke. They have given away so many cars. They've literally given away their cars. They'll give them away. And God will always bless them with another one. They have given away more stuff. And you know, we talk about it. And we laugh about it. Because it's like, oh, we know God is going to bless us. And, you know, when in his time, God is going to do whatever it is that he needs to do. Because God knows he can trust us. And that is ultimately it. God wants us. I remember this preacher years ago. He preached about being a hose type for Jesus. And people thought it was so country when he did that. But he was. It was so profound. Because if you think about a water hose, a garden hose, the hose is not the source of the water.
No.
The hose is merely used to get the water from point A to point B. The water flows through the hose. So you could actually say that the hose gets to use the water as it flows through it because the hose does get wet. But the ultimate course of where the hose needs to go, or where the water needs to go, the hose is the water actually comes from the fountain, from the spigot. That is the actual source where the water comes from. All the hose does is take it where it needs to go. Now, if there is a knot in the hose, which so many Christians have a knot in the hose because they want to hold on to what God meant to go through their hands. God is trying to bless somebody with what he wants to bless somebody else. But if he can't trust you enough to put it in your hands, if he knows that when he gives it to you, all you're going to do is hold on to it and hoard it, he's not going to give it to you.
Yeah, yeah, yes, and that's what I mean. You shouldn't be holding on to anything. Enjoy what you have, but don't hold on to. You know, enjoy.
Exactly.
And when you give it up in your spirit, when you give it up in your heart, that's when God's going to give you more.
Amen. Amen. One of the blessings that I heard with Bishop Pastor Barger, one of the blessings, the church that they have now was the property, I think it's like 6 acres, was given to them. This was actually after they had gone through a couple of buildings. One, the first building, the people sold it out from under them and gave them 30 days to get out. The second building they went to, the same thing happened. The building, they thought they were going to be buying that building, and it was sold out from under them, and they had 30 days to get out. Then they ended up going to this facility, this more public facility, and they just told people for about 6 months, say, you know what? Just go and worship with your family. When we find somewhere stable to worship, we'll let you know. And the property that they ended up building on was practically given to them, 6 acres. The building was built for little or nothing. People donated this stuff. There was somebody that actually came in because they had a desire to build an Olympic-sized pool on the ground so that they could teach their children to swim, because a lot of African-American children don't know how to swim. They're afraid of the water. And they wanted to make sure that people in the community, anybody that wanted to, would be able to learn how to swim. Somebody came to church and donated, I forgot how, like $10,000. They put the check in the basket.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they put the check in the basket so that they could build a pool.
That's how God works.
That's how God works, because God knows that they would do this.
Yeah.
That they would, if he gave it to them, they'd give it away.
That's right. And may I say something about that?
Go ahead.
Okay, what you're saying is so true, but I want people to also understand that what you said in the beginning. They thought they had a building, but it was sold from underneath them. They got another one that was sold from underneath them. How many times do we have these kind of problems? It seems like the world is falling under us, not what I want to say, but anyway.
Oh, you know what? And I forgot one. They had saved up like $20,000 or $30,000. They had saved up this big amount of money to put down on the property that they were going to buy. And God told them, give it away.
Yeah.
And they gave it away.
Yeah. And see, God was, that was an avenue, of a way to get them to where he really wanted them to be. And he also, he was looking at their heart, you know.
That's right.
So when things come to us, and we say, oh my God, I thought that was going to work, but it didn't. We should never, ever get angry. We should say, thank you. Thank you, Father, because I know you have something better. All right, thank you, God. As we get angry, we get upset with one another. You should have done this. You should have done that. Never, ever do that. Christians should look on the spiritual side first, not at each other, trying to get you to where he wants you to be. And he's looking at your heart through the process.
Man, that is so true.
You know?
That is true. Mm. It's all about the heart. It's all because just like God told Samuel, he said, man looks at the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. And that's why people can never get over on God. You know, say, oh, well, you know, they so-and-so, they just getting over this, that, and the other. God knows the heart.
Yes, he does.
This is all, Daddy knows our heart.
Yes.
He knows our deepest desires. The Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who could possibly know it? God can possibly know it. He's the only one that could possibly know our heart. We don't even know what's on the inside of us.
Yes.
But
that's
God
right.
does.
And
that,
I was just going to say there's there's a person on this line who has a testimony to tell us tonight about situations like that where it seems like the bottom is falling out, but yet they didn't get angry. And when they started, when they turned to God instead of being angry with each other, things turned around. Then when it turned around, something else happened. But they were blessed even greater because their heart was in the right place. Isn't that right, Sister Michelle? I mean, Sister Rose.
It sure is. It
What happened?
Well, you know, we moved.
When you were pregnant.
That's right. I was pregnant, and we did not have health insurance for our baby. And by this point, you know, I had been well into my pregnancy. We didn't qualify for the assistance at first. We had jumped through all these hoops, and we couldn't afford to pay for it out of the pocket. And the original insurance company wanted like $3,000 up front.
Wow.
It's been a while. Right. They do this global billing is what they do these days. And so you pay for all your appointments and visits up front.
Wow.
I had not been aware of this. I just thought, you know, it was the regular pay your copay as you see the doctor. So they dropped us. That's how we ended up without insurance. They dropped us because we couldn't afford to pay it. And it got to the point where I didn't know if I was just going to have to go into the emergency room and just have my baby there. And this was such a big concern because I was a C-section. I was a planned C-section. And so we were just beside ourselves, not to mention concerned about the, you know, week-to-week safety of the baby.
Right.
So we applied to Medicaid, and we were accepted. So we thought, like, yay, we got this. It worked out. And wouldn't you know it, that the doctor's offices were refusing to take me because I was too far along in my pregnancy and they didn't want the liability.
Oh, my gosh.
So here we thought we had, like, and I thought, my goodness, what are we going to do? We have come this far, and we just kept hanging in there. We really did, and we just kind of resigned ourselves to the fact that if we had to, we were going to just have the baby where we were going to have it, and that was going to be it. And wouldn't you know that an agency or a doctor's office ended up picking us up and delivering Maya. And she was clean, you know, healthy, no problems, no issues. But it didn't look like that in the beginning.
Wow.
Isn't that,
that is
awesome?
So God. That is so God. That is so God. God is so amazing. God is, but you know what? God wants to see what we're going to do.
I was just trying to tell that story because it was about their heart. They could have been angry, could have been fighting, you know?
Yep. Look, I remember too many times when we moved to Virginia, and between my husband and I, we both had half a job. I had a half and he had a half, so between the two of us, we had a whole. And that went for our cars, too. I had a half a car, he had a half a car. We were a mess. And to this day, we were paying rent in a townhouse in Alexandria. That was almost $1,900 a month. Plus, we were paying mortgage at a house in Alabama because we hadn't sold it yet. And that was over $1,000. And we had two children here and one in Alabama that we were trying to help with. And to this day, I know it was God that kept us. I know it was God that kept us. I have no doubt in my mind because we wasn't making enough money to cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
There would be days that I knew we were just running short, and I would just be praying, and I'm like, God, I don't know. We need X, Y, and Z, God. We don't have the money for this. We don't have the money for that. Girl, I go to the mailbox, and it would be an envelope that somebody randomly sent. Thinking about you and just thought we'd
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, we took up a collection at the choir today, and we just thought we'd bless y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Random stuff. Random. That's not. When we first got here, we didn't bring our furniture. We didn't have anywhere to put it. We moved our cars and our children and ourselves. Everything was fitting in the two cars that we brought. We had no furniture. We were sleeping on the floor. We were eating on the floor. We did everything on the floor because we didn't have any furniture. And one of our neighbors came by the house one day, and Mary was like, "Where do you eat?" We were like, "Oh, on the floor." She was like, "Oh, no, you don't." She said, "Come here." And we went back over to her apartment, and she gave us a table and some chairs. She said, "Well, where do y'all sleep?" I was like, "On the floor." "No, you don't." And she gave us air mattresses.
I know.
And she was like, "Now, what else do you need?" And honestly, think of nothing. Because God has been so very good to us. He has been so good to us in so many mm-hmm. other ways. I really never thought about what we didn't have. Because God had just been so good to us. He kept a roof over our head. We kept gas in the car. Everybody was fed and clothed. Look, when we moved here, our kids had been in private school. And if you know anything about private schools, they wear uniforms. My kids didn't have a lot of clothes.
Mm-hmm,
when we got
mm-hmm.
here, and even in Alabama, the public schools wear uniforms. Everybody wears uniforms. Well, up here,
uh-huh.
nobody wears uniforms.
uh-huh.
We got here, and my kids had no clothes. And I'm
mm-hmm.
like, "Okay, God, how are we going to do this? My babies need clothes. We have none." Lord, God
mm-hmm.
bless us. God bless us. My babies had everything they needed when school started. God bless
mm-hmm.
them. I'm just saying.
That's our God.
That's our God. And that's the things that are important to us are important to Him.
Yeah. But you could have cut off all the blessings by the wrong heart, you know, by God blaming, you know, doing the blame game.
Exactly. You know, we could have started blaming each other. We could have started fussing and fighting, and that would not have solved anything. The best thing we did was the thing that we did, which was go to God.
Yeah.
Daddy, you sent us here. Where God guides, he provides.
Yep. Yeah. He was looking at your heart because he knew where he wanted you to end up. And he had to do some more work inside before you were ready to move. And
amen.
So, my goodness. Beautiful.
Daddy is so good. Daddy is so good.
Yeah.
And he will, the thing is, you will be looking at the situation like, I don't know how we're going to make it. And God is just like, taste and see. Try me. Give me a chance to show you how you're going to make it. I'm going to show you how you're going to make it because I'm going to bless you and I'm going to show you. I'm going to do it for you.
Yeah.
And then once you get through, you look back. And you realize, just like that picture that shows Jesus carrying somebody, you look back and you realize he carried you the whole way.
That's right, because he made us a promise that I will supply all your needs.
Oh, it's so amazing. God is so amazing. And what is it that he asked for in return? He only asked that we stay in relationship with him.
Yeah.
That's all he wants. He wants a relationship.
Yes.
He wants us to get to the point where we look like him.
Yes.
He wants us to reflect Jesus.
Yes.
And how do we do that? We do that. Like Matthew chapter 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wants us to be meek and to mourn and intercede for each other. He wants us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. He wants us to be merciful. He wants us to have a pure heart.
Yes.
He wants us to be peacemakers.
Yes.
And he's telling us, just like verse 10, we didn't get to verse 10 last time. But I kind of intimated verse 10 a little while ago when we were talking about being persecuted. We were talking about the possibility of not being of having to sacrifice or die for those. And the thing is, Jesus told us already, if you follow me, expect to be treated like I was. How did they treat Jesus? You know, one thing that I was reading about, I was reading this book, When a Nation Forgets God. And one of the things that it was talking about is how at one point it talks about how people get comfortable in their pseudo-religion.
Yes.
They get comfortable. And as a matter of fact, Hitler in Nazi Germany, he referred to the pastors as dogs, being more concerned about their miserable wages because the state paid the pastors. And there were so many of them that were very quickly willing to compromise so that they didn't lose their salary, so that they could have some semblance of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, they lost all of that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So many people look at being in ministry. They look at, and I'm using being in leadership in ministry as an example, but there are so many people that look at being in leadership in ministry as the end all to be all. I specifically remember when I first got saved, I remember women that I had come in contact with who were actively looking for a preacher to marry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were some of the stupidest people. Because I'm sitting here thinking to myself, do you realize what you're asking for? Do you understand? Do you have a clue? Obviously not. If you're looking for a pastor to marry, I don't know what you think you're going to, but it's not all that, it's not all it's cracked up to be. A lot of people look at pastors and preachers and prophets and apostles and elders, and they look at the higher, quote unquote, hierarchy of the church, and they desire that office. And I was reading, I was reading in the Bible today, and I was reading a commentary, and one of the things that it was talking about was how Moses kept trying to get God not to send him to Egypt. Moses did everything he could not to get God to send him back. Because, and one of the things that was talking about was Moses was like the first example in the Bible of the office of a prophet. And Moses, Jeremiah, Jonah, and was it Isaiah? It was four of them that he mentioned. He said they all tried to get out of the office because they understood what came with it. Point that I'm making is persecution comes with those offices. When you, not just with those offices, Stephen was a deacon. He just went about preaching about Jesus. He just went about telling people. He wasn't even a preacher. He just went about telling people about Jesus, witnessing about Jesus, and they stoned him to death. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a pastor. He just went about telling people about Jesus, and they stoned him to death.
I was called to my boss's office last year, our executive director, because of one of the women in the office said that I was always talking about Jesus. I wasn't doing it the way she was saying. I never that I was trying to convert them. That part was not true. However,
is it ever true when they blame us like that?
She hated the God in me. She hated the God in me, so she made up this lie and went to my boss. A little further than that, your friends and even some of your church friends, when you're walking with God, let's say there's a gathering, and I know this happened to me a lot of times, and I'm sure it's happened to you guys. You walk up and you say, "Hi, how you doing, guys?" Well, it won't even be 3 minutes before everybody disappears. They walk away. They themselves are walking with God. All of a sudden, they, "Oh, hi, Jay," and they go over there, or they have some reason, and I find myself standing alone. That's happened so many times, and I'm sure it's happened to you guys. That's persecution. Let me tell you, that's a part of persecution. And I'm telling that story because I don't want people on the line thinking that persecution is always out there someplace, something like cutting somebody's head off or shooting them or something. Persecution comes in many forms. And
yes, it does.
That I just mentioned, and one that you just mentioned a minute ago, that's persecution. Or when you are turned down for jobs, or when you offices, you know, because you,
or when your children, their friends treat them differently because, oh, well, your parents are pastors.
Yeah, persecution. It cuts to the heart, I'm telling you. That's persecution. It is. So what are we going to do when that happens to us, what God's looking at, what are we going to do with that? How are we going to handle that, you know?
Well, Jesus said, Jesus actually, this is a promise that Jesus made. Jesus promised us, it happened to me, it's going to happen to you. If you are my follower, it's going to happen to you. But if you endure rather than hide and avoid, you're a true follower. So in other words, don't compromise. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try to fix it. Be who you are. Be daring enough to live. Hey, all the gay folks that came out the closet, why all the Christians running in the closet?
But being mindful that we are to be led by the Spirit, you know, we go as the Spirit leads us and we speak as the Spirit instructs us, you know. But
well,
God does.
What I'm saying is, but now, God don't have to lead me. If somebody asks me I'm a Christian or not, God don't have to lead me to say yes.
No, he doesn't.
I'm not going to lie.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I'm not going to, you know, it's a different, I'm not saying go out there and just climb up on top of your house and just start being belligerent. That's not what I'm saying. But by the same token, if somebody at my job asks me, are you a Christian? I'm not going to lie.
Right.
Yes, I am.
Right.
Well, are you a pastor? Yes, I am. Will you pray for me? Yes, I will.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, am I going to go around proselytizing on somebody else's dime? That's not what I'm supposed to do. However, if the Holy Spirit leads me to say something, if the Holy Spirit tells me to say something, that's different.
That's right. But it'll be all right. You will have fixed
exactly.
Everything. Yes. But he tells
if the Holy
us
Spirit tells me to.
That's right. The Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's right. And when we are persecuted, God does tell us what to do. He says, pray for them. Bless them. Pray for them, you know.
That's right. That's right. We were watching a movie the other day, and I encourage everybody on this line, if you get a chance to watch this movie, please do it. It is an awesome movie. It's called Do You Believe? If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it because everything that we're talking about right now, it totally comes into play. Totally comes into play. It is an awesome movie. It really is. And it's all you the beginning of the movie, you see this man carrying a big wooden cross up and down the street. And he encounters this man driving a car and he asks him, "Do you believe?" And the pastor responds like most Christians do. Well, you know, I am a pastor. And he said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, do you believe? And the man went on to challenge his faith. And then he saw somebody breaking into a van. And he went over there. He ran over there to them. And he told them, what y'all doing is wrong. And the man put a gun in his face. And they were ridiculing him. And the man told him, he said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Because the guy asked him, he said, when the guy put the gun in his face, he said, he put the gun in his face. And the man said, I'm not afraid to die, are you? And the guy told him, he said, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for all of y'all. And they ridiculed them, but it planted a seed. How many of us would be willing to stand up for what we believe in and for our faith to be strong enough to stand in the midst of something like that? Hmm. Again, this man, God, I know God had to tell him to do it. He walked around with this big old cross up and down the street. We see people like that now. This past summer, we were at the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, and there was a gentleman out in front of the Lincoln Memorial. And I went over and just listened to him, and he was preaching in front of the Lincoln Memorial. He brought his son with him, and I think he brought his daughter, but I saw the son. He said he lives in Baltimore. And he says every Saturday they drive down there, and he stands in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and he preaches and passes out, and his son passes out pamphlets. And they do it for, six or eight hours a day during the summer. And I was sitting there, and I was like, wow, that is his ministry.
Yeah, you got to be called to that.
You have to be called to that, but I'm just saying, how many preachers that are looking for churches would be willing to stand on the street corner and just preach on the street corner until God opened the door for them to be in a building? How many people who want the comfort and the cushiness of a nice, comfortable church and a bunch of other people that they can go out and do some type of a quote-unquote evangelism with, how many of those people would be willing to just step out of the box and just do what God called them to do? How many would be willing to just go in the mall and pass out pamphlets? How many would... My sister-in-law, God bless her, I love Robin. I watched Robin and one of her friends go through Walmart. First, they went through the parking lot and gave flock pamphlets to anybody and ministered. They didn't just hand out pamphlets. They would stand there and minister, ask people, do you know Jesus? They did that in the parking lot. Then they came in the Walmart. She said, oh, I'm on fire now.
Wow.
And Robin went person to person, and she was ministering to people in Walmart. And I was like, wow. How many of us would be willing to do that?
Wow.
To have such a zeal and such a heart for the lost. And we would be willing to just walk up to anybody and withstand whatever ridicule, whatever issues people would have, because you know that's the next part of this. The next part of this says, in verse 10 says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But verse 11 says, "And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you run into people that say ugly things about you. Pastor Rosa, just like that person lied on you. You run into those people. Those are people we will run into. On your job, it's going to be people that lie about you. In the church, it's going to be people that lie about you. They're people that are going to falsely accuse you of crazy stuff. In the church, in your own family.
Yes, yes. Wow,
in your own
yes.
family, people are going to say crazy stuff. And it's going to be a type of persecution. But the word says be exceeding glad. He said be exceeding glad. Be joyful. Be excited. When people insult you, when they say crazy stuff about you, be exceeding glad. Don't just be glad, but be excited about it. Because now you're in good company. You're in real good company. Wow. Mind blown.
Yeah.
Well, what y'all think about this lesson tonight?
This was a very full Bible study tonight. We covered a lot and talked about a lot. It was good.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, very good. Very.
Amen. Amen. You know, it still never ceases to amaze me how before I get on the air, I really have, a lot of the time I have absolutely no clue where God is going. All I know is to do what he told me to do. And by the time we get into the lesson, God unfolds it however he wants to. He unfolds it the way that he needs to.
Yes.
And I'm just amazed and grateful. I'm so humbled that God chooses to use us. He chooses to use us to put this word out.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we give them all glory. Amen, amen. Anybody got anything they want to say before we close tonight's lesson out? Amen.
Hi, this is
amen.
My
tia. Hey, sweetie.
Hey, so I might not talk much because usually I'm doing other things that involve a lot of weird noises in the background, but I do listen and I do hear you guys, and you guys do make a lot of sense. So, great job, guys.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I am so blessed. You know what? At this point in my life, that is the biggest thing for me, making sure that we make a deposit in the next generation.
Amen.
That's what's really important, is that we leave a deposit for them and we train them up and have them prepared to fight the battles.
Amen.
They need to be prepared. They got some battles on their hands. They're fighting battles right now. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when they get grown? But God, but God. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Rosie, will you pray, please?
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Holy Father. I thank you for this Bible study that we have had tonight. I thank you, Holy Father, for showing up. I thank you, Holy Father, for being to receive your word in our heart, God. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Holy Father. I thank you for your word, that is on us. I thank you, Father, you told us in the word that when it does go out, it does not return to be void, but it does return to be void. And I thank you, God, for that. That means that you have set us, God. That means that you have made a deposit in each one of us. That means, Father, that you have made us a little bit better. You're working on the side in those areas that need more work, God. And I thank you.
Yes,
I thank you, Father, that you are making us you're making us to look more like you, Jesus. And we are just so faithful to that. I thank you for every day that you give us, God, so we have another chance, another season to do your work here on this earth, God. Thank you, God. I thank you for everyone who has tuned in. I thank you for everyone who has spoken out tonight and given their heart, Father, words that you have given them to speak to us. I thank you for the ones who didn't speak to us. I just thank you, Father. You have given us a lot of meat, and we are full, like Sister Lynn just a few minutes ago, Father. You have given us meat, and we are full, and we are so thankful, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
We bless you tonight, God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, y'all, the clock went out and the timer went off on us. thank you. Yeah, the timer went off. When it went off, that's when everything shut down.
Amen.
Anyway, this was an awesome lesson. Thank you. And
yes,
thank everyone for joining. Rochelle, if you're on the line next week, get prepared to pray. You're going to pray next week.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Get prepared.
And don't not call just because I told you.
I feel it.
See, that's why I didn't ask you to pray tonight. I usually ask Rosie, and I was going to ask you to pray, but I figured you might drop the call. So
that's so funny.
Anyway, amen. Anyway, I love y'all. Thanks for being on the line tonight. Pray you got something out of it. We love y'all, and we'll see y'all later on.
Amen. Bye.
Amen.
Bye.
Bye-bye.